Turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. I want to do something this morning that we did a few weeks ago, and I want us to, before we get into the text, to walk through the Ten Commandments. And these are, of course, a summarized version of the Ten Commandments. And we come to the fifth today. It is believed by some that the Ten Commandments, the first four, were on one tablet, and the last six were on the second tablet. We don't know that for sure. We weren't there to see God write that with His finger in the stone. But we do know that the first four commandments are in relation to our relationship with God. The last six are our relationship with others. And you'll see that transition today. But I want to remind you of two things, two important truths. One is that all of God's commandments are in some way related to Him. When we're obeying the last six in our interactions with others, we are still interacting with God through our obedience to Him. And then I want to remind you, as we'll see especially this morning in this particular commandment, that the commandments are given to us for our blessing, for our good. They are not to withhold something good from us. They are not to bind us or restrict us from something that is good. That's the lie of Satan. They are to bless us and to benefit us. In fact, this commandment, maybe above all the others, the New Testament will say, is especially beneficial and blessing to us. But I want you to read along these with me. Let's read these Ten Commandments, and we'll start with number one, since that's there. Thou shalt not... Okay, y'all got to join in on this, folks, okay? I expect this kind of behavior from the 8 o'clock service. They're half asleep. But y'all are awake. This is 10 o'clock, so we're going to read the first one together. Okay, everybody ready? A one and a two. I'm sorry. Number one, thou shalt not have any other gods before God. Thou shalt not make for yourself an idol. Thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Honor your father and mother. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not testify or bear false witness against your neighbor. Thou shalt not covet. All right, you've got it good. There'll be a quiz at the end of the service, so be ready for that. These commandments are given for our good. I want you to see especially number 5 this morning in verse 12. And then I want to also read from Ephesians chapter 6. You know that verse as well. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Before I read verse 1 from Ephesians 6, I want to remind you of something about that particular verse in verse 12. The land that God gave to His people, that He promised to them, promised to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, and still continues to this day, that land that was given to them was part of that covenant that he had made with them. So when he speaks about that, he's speaking about the blessings of being in covenant with God. We are under a different covenant, but we are under a better covenant with the same God. So the blessings that he's talking about may not be that we own a piece of property and a piece of land that he has promised to us, but we look at the promises that he has given to us in Christ Jesus, and we get to experience them in their fullness as we are obedient to that command. And you say, well, wait a minute, that's the Old Testament. Well, as with 9 of these 10, as we've seen, they are repeated in the New Testament, none perhaps more clearly and specifically than this commandment. One of the first verses I remember my parents having me memorize as a child was Ephesians 6:1. If you had known me as a child, you would understand why my parents were adamant that I memorize this verse. You know this verse. You've heard the kids stand up here and repeat it often. Children, obey your... Come on, adults, I know y'all know this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Okay, you know at least that first part. That's why my parents want to make sure. Cameron, obey your parents. I did memorize it. I still remember it to this day. I'm not saying I always followed it and obeyed it as I should, but I did know it. And then he goes on and he says, he quotes from verse 12. He says, honor thy father and mother. And in parentheses it says, which is the first commandment with promise. There is a very specific, personal promise that is given. What? That you may dwell in the land that the Lord thy God gives thee. Here in Ephesians 6, he says, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. This verse not only repeats the command from the Old Testament, it repeats the promise and the blessing. We live in a culture, we live in a world that does not have great respect for authority. In fact, rebellion and antagonism against authority is often honored more so than honoring authority. Now, there's reasons for this. Many of our leaders have been dishonest. We've seen leaders fall into scandal. We've seen them be untrustworthy. And so we have a natural suspicion. And just on top of that, look, we're just all Americans. We rebelled against authority, or at least we think we did. And that's how we came into being. We're independent. We are on our own. We're not going to have anybody to tell us what to do. And so in our culture, in our entertainment, you see parents in TV shows that are cast as ignorant and foolish and old-fashioned. And it's very interesting when you tell a story, you can make the characters be whatever you want them to be, and you can make them look like you want them to look. And so those who are in authority are questioned. And the statement has been for years, question authority. And yet God calls us to, in this commandment, to honor, and as he says in Ephesians, to obey those that God has placed in authority over us, particularly those who we first encounter as our authority when we come into this world. This commandment is not a children's commandment. Now, it is for the children that are in here this morning. If you are a child, this clearly is speaking about you. But it is not a children's commandment. Deuteronomy chapter 6, when Moses said to the people, he says, you are to teach this to your children, he was speaking to adults. This is given not just, yes, children, little children are to obey their parents and honor their parents. Teenagers are to honor their parents. Young adults are to honor their parents. Regular, if there is any such thing, adults are to honor their parents. All of us, this is for all ages. Our culture speaks against that. Our culture does not like age. Now, I look around this morning, and I was taught as a child to be respectful of those who are older than me. I was taught certain cultural ways of being respectful, certain things you said, certain things you didn't say. And so I tried, if anybody looks like they might possibly be older than me, I want to show them due respect, which is why as I look around this morning, I have a respect for so many of you in here this morning. But our culture wants to avoid age. It doesn't give that honor to those who have passed along the way. And this command counters that. This is a very countercultural commandment for us to hear and for us to obey. As we look at this morning, I want to read this verse and look at this verse, and I want you to see three simple truths as we seek to obey this command. First of all, I want you to see the design. There is a design in this command. That design is God's design for the family. Now, this is very unpopular in our day. There are those who will try to argue against this. They'll even try to make biblical arguments about this. But here's a basic truth that I want you to hear, and then I want to break it down. God designed the family to manifest Himself and to benefit us. God designed the family to manifest Himself and to benefit us. Let's take that first part. God designed the family. It was God who gave the structure to the family in the very beginning. It's not up for debate. It's not up for discussion. It's not the Congress that decides. It's not the courts that decide. It's not the culture that decides. It's the Word of God that decides. And what did God say? I heard somebody recently said, well, you know, Adam and Eve really weren't married. Really? You remember what God said about that? He said he put the two of them together, and he said, therefore shall a man leave his what? Father and mother, and shall cleave unto his random woman he met in the garden somewhere. That's not what he says. Shall cleave unto his wife. Marriage and wife sort of go together there. I never had a wife until I was married. That's a deep thought. Some of y'all will be pondering that for the rest of the service, and you won't hear anything else I say. I never had it goes together. So God established this framework of what the family. Now look, I understand, we live in a fallen world, and there are things that happen. There is death, there is division that sometimes takes place, and the structure of the family may have to adjust to that. But the adjustment to God's rule does not mean that we are free to alter or abolish God's rule. There are situations where there's not two parents in a home. My dad was raised by a single mom, and she raised him by God's grace to love the Lord and to serve the Lord. But because of a situation of death, she was there by herself. There are many single parents, so this is not changing that. But to come as our culture does and say, we can radically redefine what the family is to be, is to go completely contrary to God's design. God designed the family. And hear me carefully, to try to change that, to redefine that, to go against that, is to deny the wisdom and the goodness of God. God designed the family for what? To manifest himself. It is in our families that we get our first expression and first experience of the attributes and the character and the nature of God. I'm not saying that our families are perfect expressions of that nature, but what does God use to describe? Parenthood takes its pattern from God himself. And in fact, when Jesus came to this earth, he introduced somewhat, not completely, but somewhat a really new idea. When he referred to God as our Father, when he taught the disciples to pray, he says, when you pray, say, our Father. Fewer of y'all know the Lord's Prayer than know the Ten Commandments. He said, our what? Father. Our Father which art in heaven. This was a new concept. This was not something that had been a major theme in the Old Testament is hinted at and is touched on, but God says, Jesus says, God is our Father. He's your Father. And so we have that relationship. And so in our families, the first personal expression, the first tangible encounter that we have with the rule of God over us is the rule of our parents over us. And in those young, God designed it in such a way that in those young, impressionable years, we get an experience of who God is. What an admonition to us as parents to be mindful that we represent God to our child, for good or for bad. I was talking to someone right after the service this morning, the early service. I remember being in a Bible study that spoke about God being Father. And a lady said to me, I do not ever want to think about God as my Father. That comes as a shock to some of us. But as she began to describe the experience she had with her father, it helped me understand that, and be reminded that not everybody has a good relationship with their parents. And it took a while for her to move. It was a work of the Spirit and the work of grace in her life for her to move from viewing God through her earthly experience, viewing her heavenly reality through her earthly experience, to viewing her earthly experience through the heavenly reality of a perfect heavenly Father. And so God designed this to manifest himself to us. This is God's rule over us, and that's why he says in this very, very simple command, honor your father and your mother. Why? Because in those earliest moments, we can understand the importance. And the question is, what are we going to do with God's rule over us? If we won't submit to our parents, will we submit to God? Will we obey or will we rebel? Will we submit or will we defy Him? Will we honor Him or will we despise Him? And that's the purpose of this framework that God gives. So in the heart of this commandment, the element of this, the fundamental to this obedience and to this command is the divine design. So God designed the family to manifest Himself, but He did it also to benefit us. God designed the family for several reasons. Let me give you about two or three real quick. One, He designed the family to meet the emotional needs of children. To be there, the varied emotional needs that children have can be met in the family that God designed. Is that always the case? No, absolutely not. But that's why God designed it as He did. God designed it to, as I said, manifest Himself, for that child to experience this is who God is. This is what God is like. And the way that that authority, that way that that provision, that way that that protection, all that a family provides for a child, this is what I seek ultimately from God. And then the family is designed by God to carry the faith, for the faith to be taught from one generation to the next. And it's all about this is who God is. God designed the family to manifest Himself and to benefit us. And we see that in Ephesians 6:3, where He says, you do this so that it may be well with you. When we live in honor to God by honoring our parents, we manifest that we have been the blessed recipients of God's grace through Jesus Christ, that He loves us. But there's a second truth that I want you to see in this morning, and that flows from that principle that we just saw. The design is for the delight of this commandment. There's delight in this. Now, when you're a child and your parents tell you to do something you really don't want to do, there's not a whole lot of delight there. Some of you experience this. You've got kids and you tell them to do something, and they'll say things like, well, I don't want to. Let me tell you, I don't try to impose my life experience on other people. If I had said that, I would not be here today. Some of you know what I'm talking about. My parents would never have killed me. They thought about it many, many times, but they would never have done it. Beat me within an inch of it a few times, but I did. I was not abused. I was not harmed. I was disciplined thoroughly and firmly and frequently and often in church. My testimony is that as a child, I had a drug problem. I got drug out of church multiple times. And got a whooping, y'all heard what I said, on the front porch. And I got drug back in. But it taught me some things. It taught me to, number one, respect God's house and respect God. And it also taught me to respect my parents. Don't you ever come up and say I had mean parents. I can say that, but don't you ever say it. But we were taught to respect and to show that respect. So there's not always that delight. The Bible speaks about that discipline and He says it's for our good. And my mom and dad used to say things like, well, you know, this is going to hurt me worse than it hurts you. The smart aleck in me wanted to say, well, let me whip you and let's see whether that's true or not. But I knew that I would only get it worse if I did that. The writer of Hebrews says that that discipline for us does not seem to be joyful. Really, you think it's not joyful? And so we don't see it as that. But there is a blessedness, there is a promise, there are blessings that come with our obedience to God. When we obey God, here's a general principle for all of us to understand. When we obey God's commandments, there are really two types of blessings that come from it. One is the blessing that God sees us as being obedient, and He blesses us for that obedience. But there is also often the consequences of that obedience. And so when we obey our parents, when we honor our parents, that it may be well with thee, that you may live long upon the earth. How long is long? I don't know, but it's longer than short. And those blessings that come from God. So there are things that God does for us when we show respect and honor to our parents. The inverse of that is that we lose blessings when we are disrespectful and we dishonor our parents. But the blessedness of this is the joy that God has designed for us, that not only when I honor my parents, I am not only honoring them, I am honoring God who told me to honor them. And that's where this comes down to it. See, we always want to find the reason why I shouldn't honor my parents, or I shouldn't obey my parents, or I shouldn't have to do this, or I shouldn't have to do that. And it all boils down to, will I submit to God's authority in my life? The blessedness. He gives it to us to benefit us. What is the delight of this? When manifested spiritually, when our obedience is spiritually motivated and empowered by the Spirit. And I will point this out to you real quick. In Ephesians, when he says, children, obey your parents, it follows from the command to be filled with the Spirit. This is talking about a spiritual work in our life. And it's not just for the little kids. It's for all of us. But when this happens, when this work of the Spirit takes place in our life, God's blessing is poured out. There's the blessing of a joyful and a fulfilled life. There's the blessing of honoring God. And there's the blessing of God's promise to us. Do I trust and believe that God will hear and will see my obedience and bless it? God's blessing on obedient children is a foretaste of the covenant blessing in Christ. It's a taste of grace to whet our appetite and our desire for Him above all else. And there is nothing more blessed than that. If you want to be blessed, you want to be, I'm not talking about material possessions, I'm not talking about wealth and prosperity theology, I'm talking about God's blessing on our lives, then we obey His command. Children, obey your parents and honor your parents. For adults, that obedience is seasonal. It's when we're under their personal authority. But that honor goes for our entire life. That's a challenge. But to honor for their entire life and when they're gone as well. There's a third thing that I want us to see, and this is so important because this is the heart of the commandment. And that is there's a duty to this commandment. It's one word. Honor. Well, what does it mean, Pastor? What does it mean to honor? I think we get that, but some people just want a real definition. It means to honor. It means to show respect. It means to value our parents. How do we do this? Well, let me first define it by some things that it's not. Sometimes that's helpful before we think about what it is. Honoring our parents is not approval. I don't have to affirm everything they do. You don't have to affirm everything they do to, and I think it's good to honor them. You see, a part of what we honor is the fact that we're honoring their position, who they are. Not always what they do, because can we be honest this morning? That's a strange question to ask in church, isn't it? You come into church, can we be honest? Please do. Not all parents are honorable. Not all parents are good. There are abusive parents. There are parents that are hurtful, whether it's physical or verbal, emotional, mental. There are parents who are good people and they're trying to do their best and they make a lot of mistakes because they're human. There are good, godly parents who, and I suspect every one of us here, if you're a parent and have been a parent, you would say, look, I know I've made mistakes. So we're human. We make mistakes. Honoring that, honoring them, is not approval of everything that they do. Honor is not love. Now, honor is amplified when paired with love. But we honor whether we love them or not. You see, that seems so hard for us because if you've had a loving relationship or even just a good relationship with your parents, it's hard to think about not loving your parents. But hear me carefully. There are some folks who need to experience the healing of the Holy Spirit in their heart because they not only struggle with loving their parents, they may struggle with not hating their parents. How can we honor that? How is that honorable? We honor what is honorable. God commands our honor and our obedience. So how do I do this? Let's back up a minute and look at a principle about our obedience to authority. And from that, we can draw how we also should show honor to things that aren't necessarily, to people who aren't honorable. In the Word of God, we are placed under the authority of our government. And let me just say that I've struggled most of my adult life with finding much that's honorable in our government. I'm not an anarchist. Don't go out and report me to the CIA or the FBI or whoever you want to report me to. Some of y'all are already on your phones. Y'all got it on speed dial. But we are commanded to submit to the authority that is over us. In fact, the Bible says that the government is a minister of God over us. I really struggle with seeing the government as a minister of God. But I am to submit. Am I to submit absolutely and completely without any exceptions? Not according to Scripture. In fact, if God's Word tells me to do something and the government tells me something that's contrary to God's Word, what am I supposed to do? Is it better to obey God or to obey man? God. You know the passage in the book of Acts where the disciples are called before the authorities and they say, "Stop preaching in the name of Jesus." And what is their response? "You tell us whether it is better to obey God or obey man. We can't help but preach the things that we've been told to preach and preach the things we've seen." They chose to obey God because man's authority was contrary to God's authority. We can find this in the book of Daniel when the king says, "Don't pray to anybody but me." And what did Daniel do? Daniel went out and got a bunch of friends and they picketed the palace. No, he didn't do that. He didn't go and try to poke the king in the eye. He just went like he always did and prayed. Now, he suffered the consequences for it. But he disobeyed man in order to obey God. The same is true in the family. If a parent tells a child to do something that is contrary to God's word, then that child is to obey God rather than to obey man. Now, kids, don't try to abuse that. Don't take that home to lunch and say, "I just don't believe God wants me to eat these carrots." It's not how it works. I'm saying that that's that exception. The same is true with honoring our parents. We honor what is honorable. How do we do that? Well, we do that when we're young by obeying. Children, obey your parents. It's as simple as that. We obey them. We show them respect. You show them respect by the way that you talk to them. You show them respect by the demeanor, the body language, the facial expressions. Sometimes our words and our actions don't reflect what's in the heart. I was raised in the South. Most or many of you were as well. I was taught that there were certain things to say to be respectful. I was taught to say "yes, ma'am" and "yes, sir" to those that were older than you. So now if I say "yes, ma'am" or "yes, sir" to any of y'all, y'all are going to think that you're older than me. And you probably are. I was taught to, I hear adults do this, and look, I'm not saying this is a sin, so please don't go out of here. Over the last several weeks, I've had people say things that were the exact opposite of what I said in the sermon. So don't go out of here and say that I said this was a sin. But I could never possibly call my mom or dad by their first name. I was 32 years old before I knew their first names. I feel like if I called my mom by the first name, the last seven generations of my family would rise up from the grave and smack me side the head. It's just what I was raised, okay? So there are ways, there are things we are taught. This is how to be respectful. This is how to be right. This is the way. Those aren't necessarily biblical things. But the problem is that you can do all those things and still have a bad attitude in your heart and be disrespectful in your manner. The same manner that we show reverence and honor to God, we can do the same thing in our honor to our parents. I can come to church and have all the outward part looking good, but my heart may not be right. The story of the little kid. His mom told him to, he'd been misbehaving. She said, go sit down in that chair and sit in the corner. And he walked over and he sat down. He said, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. Honoring our parents has to do with our heart. Just like honoring God has to do with our heart. He's our Heavenly Father as well. This is the way that we manifest it. How do we obey this? As they get older, it may involve caring for our parents. So many of you have done that. So many of you have had to care for a parent when they've gone through physical needs. But that's a way. You see, as we get older, our honor changes. The manner that we show honor may change, but the fact that we honor them does not change. We show this by forgiving their mistakes. I certainly feel this way, and I suspect most moms and dads maybe do as well. I can look back and I'm more aware of my mistakes as a parent than I am of doing things right. Most of us look back and we see more with regrets. And it's easy sometimes to remember the things that were done wrong. But part of honoring our parents is being willing to forgive them. You say, Pastor, you don't know what my parents did. No, I don't. But I do know that God calls us to forgive. Be careful lest the root of bitterness springing up trouble many. And many times as we think about this commandment, we're thinking about little children eating their carrots, sitting still, doing those things. But when we get right down to it, in our hearts, there's hurts, and there's pains, and there's things that we experienced that are difficult to let go of. It's hard for us to say, I will honor my parents. Honoring is forgiving. I want to read something this morning. It's a little longer than I normally read, but I think it's helpful. There's a young writer in our country today named Samuel C. He writes about honoring a dishonorable parent. His father, he said, abandoned my mom and I. He's from the nation of Ghana. He abandoned us before I was born. A few months after I was born, my mother tracked him down in a remote village in Nigeria, begged him to return, but he refused to come home with her. He refused to come home to me. And so he wrote an open letter. He put this on his website so that if his dad saw it, he didn't have contact with his dad. He said, I want him to read this. My father, if you're reading this, I want you to know I'm grateful for you. I really am. You are my father and I am your son. Without you, there is no me. Without your life, mine wouldn't exist. So I'm truly grateful for you. And without you, I wouldn't know Mom. Mom is an incredible blessing to me. I'm not glad you abandoned her, but I am glad you married her. I'm not glad you abandoned me either, but I'm grateful that although you didn't mean it for my good, God did. You were seeking your own interest, I know, but God ordained it all for the interest of my soul. I am a Christian, so I want you to know I'm actually not fatherless. I don't know you, but I know my Father in heaven. You neglected me, but our Creator didn't. I'm grateful for that. I have an everlasting Father who promises He will never leave me or forsake me. I want you to know I've been trying to honor you as well as I can. I'm taking care of Mom. I'm trying to do for her what you didn't do. I'm protecting and providing for her. I also want you to know I'm married now. I've been married for almost 2 months. I promised my wife I will do for her what you didn't for Mom. I will love her and cherish her. I won't abandon her. I'm grateful God used how you hurt Mom to keep me from hurting my wife. I'm not a father yet, but when that happens, I will strive to make sure I don't repeat what you did with me. I don't want my children to simply know my name. I want them to know me. But most of all, I hope you repent and believe in Jesus Christ. I am a sinner just like you. I received your sinful nature. Therefore, you can receive God the Father's righteous nature. And if by the providence of God you happen to stumble on this, please reach out. I would be glad to get to know you. I'm not bitter. I'm not angry at you. I'm willing to forgive you. Listen to this. By the grace of God, I want to honor you. That's the grace of God at work in an individual's life to help them to honor what we would see as dishonorable. Honoring our parents is not an easy thing. It may involve obedience as a child. It may grow into care. But at different times, it may be the matter of being willing to forgive. This morning, there may be someone here that needs to experience that kind of healing. You may just need to kneel before God and let God work in your heart to reconcile in your heart, to confess the feelings and the bitterness. Pastor, you don't know what they did. No, forgiveness and reconciling in your heart is not about what they've done. It's about letting go and experiencing God's healing. You'll never experience that healing until you're willing to let go. It may be children going to parents. You say, well, I can go to the altar and I can confess my disrespect. Yeah, but Jesus said before you come to the altar, if you have fault with someone, you need to go to them first. And this morning, if your parent is here, child or students, you may need to go to them and say, Mom, Dad, I want to apologize. I want to be respectful. Maybe this morning they're not here and you need to, as soon as you get away from here, you need to reach out to them. Maybe families need to pray together. Maybe parents need to reach out to children. Maybe you just need to confess to God what's taking place in your heart. Maybe this morning you just want to rejoice in the fact that we have a Heavenly Father that we can always honor. And maybe you have godly parents that you honor and you just want to give thanks to God for them being in your life. What a great way to honor your father and mother. There are those, your mom and your dad is not here this morning. You would love to have that opportunity. But I want you to know that at all times and in all places, we can reach out to our Heavenly Father and express our love and honor for Him. I believe that God has placed this message this morning, not just because it's the next commandment in line, but because there are those that need to confess. There's those that need to be healed this morning in their heart. There are those that need to give God honor. Father, I pray that you'll speak to us in this moment as your Holy Spirit is convicting. Lord, I pray for the children that have shown disrespect and have developed an attitude of disrespect. They've shown it in the way they speak. They've shown it in their facial expressions. They've dishonored their parents. Lord, may you speak to them. May they make these things right. Father, for parents that want to be a godly manifestation of who God is to their children. Lord, for those that have hurt, they need to experience some healing in their heart from the wounds of their relationship with their parents. May they be able to honor what is honorable. And above all today, may we honor you in our worship. Speak to our hearts. May we obey in Jesus.